This podcast is brought to you by the RNIB Older People and Complex Needs Team and is one of our supporting senior series. It is for people who are supporting an older person or senior and is also useful for seniors themselves. The information in this podcast will also be useful for people living with dementia, stroke survivors and older adults with learning disabilities.
I'm Marion McMillan at RNIB. I'm here with Ian Kennedy and June Neal from the Older People and Complex Needs team. And today's topic is things to think about if you're supporting a person with sight loss in their home. Simple things which can make things easier for the person, but perhaps aren't things you'd thought of. Why is this an important subject, June?
Well, adapting the house is an important topic. If you begin to think about the figures for sight loss, there's 1 in 5 people over the age of 75 are living with sight loss, and this increases to 1 in 2. Sight loss does increase as we get older. It can be part of the natural ageing process, or it can be caused by an eye condition or another health condition such as stroke or living with dementia. So adapting the home is really important to make the most out of your remaining vision.
It is, isn't it? So let's think about Emily today. Emily's not long been widowed and she's moving into a smaller home with the support of her son Jim and his family. She's always worn glasses, but on one of her recent visits to the optometrist, she was diagnosed with a more significant sight loss. Jim wants his mum to settle well into her new home because she's been through a lot recently, so he wants to know what he could do to help.
Well, I think firstly we have to remember this is going to be Emily's home. So we have to make sure that any changes or adaptations that we make that Emily is still going to be proud of, and of her furnishings and the decor, and that this is her home. And any changes, whether it's a flat, a sheltered housing or a care home environment, has to reflect that homely quality.
I think we've got to kind of also look at things like changes should only be made to somebody's environment if they're necessary for that person. We shouldn't do a kind of broad brushstroke, change the whole environment just for the sake of it. So for an individual flat, if they're having difficulty in the kitchen area, then we need to look at that particular area. If they're having difficulties with handles or switches, then you look at that particular area for that person. It's not a change everything just for the sake of it. It's if they're having difficulty. One thing to look at is lighting. It's a really kind of quick and easy thing to look at with an environment. We always recommend using natural light where possible, but then for some people, natural light can cause glare. So we need to look at how do we control natural light. One way of doing that is vertical blinds in the windows, but remembering that you've got to control the light coming in through the vertical blinds, so you've got to adjust the vertical blinds throughout the day. It's not good enough to say we've got vertical blinds up. If we don't adjust them throughout the day, it can still cause adverse effects within the environment, causing maybe light pools or patterns on the carpet. So we've got to adjust them throughout the day. It's really, really important. Also, if we're looking at artificial light, make sure that the room is well lit for that person, but the lighting is evenly distributed. There's not dark areas and really bright spots. Where possible, if it's controllable, using dimmer switches and things like that, and introducing lampshades and light shades so that there's no bare bulbs on show, no really bright areas.
Yeah, it's quite fashionable at the moment, isn't it, to have those exposed light bulbs and the very bright LED lights, quite a harsh, bright light.
I think it's fashionable, but it can cause problems with glare and blurred vision. The other thing that is useful to think about is how you use colouring for Emily to sort of navigate her way around the house. We often talk about use of good colour contrast, but again, we want to make sure that we don't automatically think about black on white or bright red or bright yellow. We can use tonal contrast so that it's more subtle, but it still highlights the door frames and door handles and changes in walls. We also need to think about patterns and reflective surfaces. Patterns can cause difficulties with like visual clutter. It can be difficult to find things within if there's a big pattern. It can also cause problems with depth perception, people doing big steps on carpets. And reflective surfaces like on tables or worktops, again causing glare, can really interfere with like independence.
So you could really make quite a difference just by thinking about small, simple changes.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Some of the simplest stuff is the best. So really simply, avoiding trip hazards by clearing away after yourself. Don't leave things on the floor. Putting a mark or a sticker on glass door panes, you know, like the French doors. Some people struggle to differentiate them. So either making them contrast or putting stickers or something like that on the glass to differentiate. Also things like well-contrasted or tactile signage if needed. But then you've got to be really aware that it's potentially somebody's house. So you don't want big tactile signs because it doesn't look very homely. It might be appropriate for a service environment, a day service, for example, but in somebody's home, that might not be as suitable.
Yeah, so lots of things to consider in that. What about support from elsewhere? Can the local authority help?
Yep, the local authority can provide assessments. They can come out into your home, have a look around and do a recommendation on any aids and adaptations that would be suitable for the individual, and definitely something to investigate.
How would you access this service?
You're probably wanting to speak to your local sensory impairment team, and within that team there should be a rehabilitation officer. So this rehabilitation officer will be able to give you advice over the phone, come out and visit, as June said, maybe do an assessment, an environmental assessment, and provide you with some aids or adaptations to increase your kind of independence within the home environment. So your sensory impairment team and your rehab officer within that team should be your port of call.
And just to say, in Scotland we call them rehab officers, but you might have known the term ROVI, which is sort of used down in England, so it's Rehabilitation Officers for Visual Impairment. So again, you can contact them through your local authority.
That's great. Thank you, folks, for all that information. Some really helpful tips and pointers there. Hopefully some of these will make a difference to help Emily settle into her new home.
If you found this helpful, listen to our other podcasts in our Supporting Seniors series. We also have further information and support online from our sight loss advice service at rnib.org.uk/advice. For more information about working with older people who have sight loss, go onto the RNIB website at rnib.org.uk and type working with older people into the search box at the right-hand side. You can also call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999. We are the Older People and Complex Needs team at RNIB. For more information about what we do, search for us on the RNIB website.